God is good. And all the time. Happy Father's Day. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. It's a great day to be alive, guys, isn't it? Yeah. Well, welcome. So glad you're here at First Church. I believe with the folks that I've come to know over the last several years that you are in the right place to worship on a Sunday morning. And I thank you for being here today. If you would turn to your announcement page real quick in your bulletin. Obviously, all of these are very important announcements. June 27th is Lunch Bunch, and just so you know what Lunch Bunch is, it is a dinner that is made by a different group in the church each month. It is primarily for, well, it's for fellowship, but it also helps us with our missional giving. In the United Methodist Church, we call that apportionments, and what that does is dig wells in Mozambique, buys nets to help cure malaria. It does things like that around the world. It also, when the floods were bad here around this area, the United Methodist Church was present here in helping as well. So all these sorts of things is what apportionments does, and that helps us. Now, what I like as a family of five, what I like about our lunch bunch is that it's $6 a piece or $15 for family. Now tell me, where can you go as a family of five, have a great meal, great fellowship, and only spend $15, huh? So that's what that's all about. A lot of important announcements. I do want to lift up a special announcement, and that is, look under today's happenings. Baptism of J.D., John, and Boston Wilson at Shawnee Bend Beach. All right? Now, it is important that we as a church are present. So if at all possible, please be out at Shawnee Bend Beach. It'll probably be later than 11:15, but you know, get out there. By the time I greet you and we get out there, it'll probably be a little later, but please go out there to support the Wilsons, and that'll be a great event, and I just can't wait to dunk Jesus. That's all I have to say. JD, I have to explain for those visiting, JD always plays Jesus in our Easter settings. So I just can't wait, you know. I think we might even see the heavens. What do you think? But anyway, no, seriously, that will be very special. And my belief in baptism is that the church needs to be present to support that. Now, I'll give you a little clue into that whenever some other folks join. We have the Shears and Evelyn. There she is, joining today as well, and I'll talk about that in more detail at that time. So please make sure you look at all these announcements, very important in that regard. And I want to make, I know it's a joy, but I want to make a special announcement right now. I want to wish my dad a happy birthday. He turns 49 today. He started very young. But anyway, Mom and Dad have come down to help me with the boys because Jamie and 10 other adults are with 36 youth. And they made it safely, by the way, praise God. But make sure, and we'll mention it again during Joys and Concerns, but please continue your prayers for the youth group and their experience and the people that they're working for down there, as well as, obviously, the adults and Jamie. You notice I said adults and Jamie. Jamie's my wife, by the way. So anyway, thank you for being here. We have a special announcement this morning. You want to take over?
I will.
We have a special group in this church that I wanted to call the partying team. And they chose to be called the fellowship team. So,
Yes.
They do the same job there.
We are the party team. But, you know, it sounds a little more, I don't know, proper to say fellowship team. But you all really know we're the party team. Today's Father's Day. So happy Father's Day. I'd like every father to stand. Wow. That's amazing. Okay. Now wait. Stay standing, guys. How about any fathers here 75 years old? Okay. Then sit down if you're younger than 75. Oh, look at this. First church, I had to fight for them. Okay. All right. How about 77 and younger? Anybody 77 and younger, sit down. Uh-huh. How about 79? Younger? 80 and younger? 83? Oops, come back up. Come back up. No. All right. 82, stand up. Anybody 83 and older? They all sat down. 82? Oh, my word. 81? All right. There we go. All right. Congratulations. Give these men a hat. And these caps that we're giving, we got these from Teddy Gatliff. On Mother's Day, we gave pink caps, and there have been people ask me about that, and Teddy Gatliff. So if you would like to have a cap, contact Teddy. Now we're going to do most children here. Most children. Is there a father here that has five children, grandchildren here? I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't even have said here, but I did. How about four here? Oh, children or grandchildren? Three? Oh, this is going to be bad, isn't it? You know? Oh, you've got three. Okay, they need to be here. Need to be here. Oh, all right. Okay, I think I have two that have three children here. Is there another one back here that said they have three? Okay, all right. Well, preacher, you're not getting a cap. All right, give Larry back there a three. Oh, my word, he has three. Oh, my goodness. And we are blessed. And Teddy is not here, but anyway, I'll just say, Pat, give it to the one that you want to. It won't be my fault. Oh, she's, yes. All right. All right. There we go. I'm sorry I messed that one up. But anyway, we just appreciate all of you fathers. We appreciate all of the men in our church. We appreciate what you do. Not only do you raise your children, but other children, whether you have them or not. They look up to you, and so your witness to God through them, that is such an amazing thing that a man has and does, and so we appreciate that. I have a poem here I would like to read in honor of fathers, and it's What Makes a Dad. God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of the summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in the spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. Then God combined all of these qualities, and when there was nothing more to add, he knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I just want to reiterate what she said. Thank you so much, fathers, for all that you do, not only in the life of this church, in the life of your kids, but in the life of this community and the world. If you're visiting with us today, we put out a special welcome to you. We thank you so much for your presence. The third page of your bulletin tears off, and we call it the connection card. I invite all of us, including visitors, to write down your connection information. But for our visitors, if you would put that in the offering basket, and that would be your offering to us today, and that way we can greet you properly and say thank you so very much for worshiping with us today. The longer I am appointed at this church, I just want to personally give God praise and thanks. I know Jay said that I had been reappointed for another year here, and I just want you to know that Jamie and I count it as a joy that we have been, and I thank you for the ministry that this church does, not only within this church, but this community and the world. You are, in so many ways, an amazing church. But as always, with our life, we have so much more that we could do. Amen? And so we'll just work together in that regard. All right. You ready for an awesome worship service this morning?
Yes.
All right. Let's begin.
Please rise for our song of praise, Come Thou Fount, on screen.
Song of praise, teach me song of
Gracious and holy God, we come before you today giving you thanks and praise for all that you've given us. You are an amazing creator, God, Lord, and we just thank you that each and every day you create in us a new beginning. And dear Lord, through Jesus Christ, you have made a spiritual way for us to begin again, for us to accept him into our lives and to turn toward you, to bring healing and wholeness not only to our lives, but to those that are around us, God. And as we come together to worship you today, we ask for your powerful anointing. Lord, we understand that you're already present among us, but we want to be deliberate in asking for your powerful presence to come. Come, Lord, wash over us, anoint us fully with your Spirit, God. Help us feel, maybe in a way that we have never felt before, your powerful, powerful presence, God. Heal us in all those places that we believe are secret, but you know all too well. Dear God, heal us in our sickness and the disease that is in our life, Lord, no matter what it is. In miraculous ways, make us stronger, God. In Jesus' holy name, make us one with you and one with each other. Amen.
Please remain standing for our song of praise, Ascend.
All right, some of you may remember this. Sing out if you do. Get your hands going, too. I guess I gotta sing.
Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation pure and holy.
You remember it, don't you? Sing with us.
Who will ascend to the mountain? Generation, pure and holy.
not bow down to the idols of this world. My heart belongs to only you. My voice will cry out, forever give you praise.
Sing it with me, here we go.
My King of glory.
Louder.
My King of glory. Mountain of the Lord, who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation, pure and holy, we will ascend to the mountain.
Seated. Kids Corner this morning will be presented by Linda Nelson. Kids, come on down.
I love
Sing with
Jesus.
Me. I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
I love
Sing with me.
Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Good morning. How are you all? Can you look out there and wave and say, Happy Father's Day?
Happy Father's Day.
One more time.
Happy Father's Day.
Well, my children's sermon this morning is really special because I have my two grandchildren with me today. And you're all very special, too. We're so glad to have you in church today with us worshiping. I was visiting a church last Sunday, and I have to be very honest, the pastor gave me the idea for my children's sermon today. Can you all tell me who that is on their church worship bulletin? Who is that? It's about Toy Story, isn't it? And there's a new one getting ready to come out, isn't there?
Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3, that's right. His sermon was Finding Your Story in God's Story. And this is going to be a real interactive children's sermon because we're going to let the congregation do our closing prayer. So if Gail and Deanna, 369, I know you know it because it was part of the prelude this morning. We're going to sing the chorus for our closing prayer. Well, my grandchildren were very nice. They let me borrow some props. And who is this?
Woody.
And who does Woody belong to? What's the name of the little boy?
Andy.
Andy. And how do you know that?
Because I watched Toy Story.
But also Andy's name's on his boot, isn't it? And you know, the minister asked last week, who do we belong to? Whose name is on the bottom of our boot? Hopefully it's God, isn't it? And Woody's supposed to be a cowboy, isn't he?
Yeah.
And Toy Story's about all these toys and all the adventures they have. And who's this guy?
Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear. And what does he always say? To infinity and beyond. That is right. You guys know your Toy Story. But the message of his sermon was, we need to find our story in God's story. And he talked about King David, that King David said in Psalm 139, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? He is always there. He's in our story. And the minister told about two instances in his life, both very traumatic instances. One ended happily and one ended kind of tragically. But he made the comment, God was there in all of my life, in the good times and the bad times. So I hope in your story, with God's story, you feel the presence of God in your life, in the good times and in the bad times. And I appreciate very much. We're going to close with our song and think about your story that you're just now starting. May I borrow Woody back? Because my little granddaughter was pretty sad to see him leave her house, wasn't you?
I'm going to get those kind of things for my
birthday. Are you? Okay, well, remember that you're finding your story in God's story. And we're going to close with a chorus, so congregation, help us. 369, can we have a chord, please? Deanna, if you could help us. This is my story. Okay, we need to hand out your cups to collect change for missions. And I hope you have a great week, and thank you for being here today.
In 2009, the children collected over $4,600 for apportionments. Our song of praise is number 431, Let There Be Peace on Earth. I've been asked to announce that we still have some great stuff in the gym for sale. Take what you want. Free will donations are accepted. We also have a thanks. Thank you, First Church, for your donations and awesome support for the Family Fun Festival. Thanks to all the volunteers who helped out with the garage sale. Family Fun Fest team. And I would remind you that free movie night, Hotel for Dogs, will be on the 25th here at 7 p.m. Maybe we don't think about this too much. You get up this morning, as you did yesterday, and you're thinking, oh my, this is going to be another hot day. And probably it is. Of course, we got some rain yesterday, but my tomato plants are just growing like crazy, and I'm happy about that because I want some BLTs real quick now. Don't you? That's summer. All right, let's go to God in prayer. First, Father, we thank you that our mission group made it safely to their destination yesterday. We praise and thank you for the work that they're going to do, for the blessings that they will bring to others, and for the blessings that they'll bring upon themselves. We ask your special care for them and keep them safe until they come home. We also ask that you would help us to be your hands and hearts for a hurting world. Guide and direct us so that our unique responsibilities and mission may indeed be a blessing to the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor any powers nor anything else will be able to separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, 38 through 39.
Nothing can take.
Thank you, Dan. Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. Now, for those who know, where is Isaiah, in the Old or the New Testament? That's right, the Old Testament. So if you would turn back, it's before Jeremiah. It's sort of in the middle of your Bible. Hope you brought your Bible, or at least get the Pew Bible out. Turn to the book of Isaiah. First service, I said it's right after the Song of Solomon, but that didn't seem to help anyone. So, and Ecclesiastes. But anyway, so Isaiah 61, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Once you find that, would you stand with me and put a finger in that point in your Bible and raise the Bible high above your head, and let's say the Bible pledge together this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing as we read Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. God said through Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to release and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display His glory." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Last week I began by telling you about one of the teaching sessions at annual conference. The pastor was Michael Slaughter. And I told you how God, through Michael, took a church that worshipped around 100 in a small town in Ohio called Ginghamsburg. And he whittled it down to 50 to 75 people worshiping. And then God began growing this ministry to a point that Ginghamsburg, UMC, worships around 5,000 today and is one of the premier churches in the world. His message that day really spoke to my heart, and that's why I wanted to lift it up last week and this week as well. Just to preview just a little bit, last week we started with Matthew 25, and if you remember right, what Jesus gathers his followers along with the disciples around him, and he just says, you know, I want to kind of give you the lowdown here. I want you to understand where this is going. And anybody here ever had like a professor in college or something? They have a pre-class gathering, like usually at an evening, sometimes at the professor's house. And many professors literally go through the tests. I guess they think that if you're willing to give the time to come to their house or wherever it is to do this, they're going to help you out on what's coming the next day in a test. And it's kind of like that. Jesus, it's a lot like a preview to a test. He gathers folks around him and he says, "The kingdom of God is like a shepherd separating his sheep and his goats." Jesus says, "Now, just to give you a heads up, you want to be among the sheep, folks. You want to be among the sheep." And we find out that sheep are the ones who, help me out here, they saw the hungry and they saw the hungry and in this church, you have permission to speak out, all right? So they saw the hungry and they saw the sick and they took care of them. That's a little more difficult. They saw those in prison and they, et cetera, right? Well, at that point, we pulled in Isaiah 58, which is part of the messianic texts of Isaiah, as is Isaiah 61 today. And we found out that people were complaining that God was not listening to them, and God said some things through Isaiah that we talked about last week. You remember that? they were complaining, you know, here we're tithing mint and dill and you aren't listening to us. We have sackcloth on and you're not observing us, God. We're doing all these things. We're fasting and you just don't seem to care, God. What's up? And God says in response, says, I'm not listening because you have perverted the mission of God. You remember us talking about this last week? Because they were making God's mission a gospel about me. Now, I understand, we are in the 21st century, right? In the 21st century. Okay, we're in the 21st century, and we've overcome this. But just a review here on what the folks in Isaiah's time were going through. They were making God's mission a gospel about me. You know, it's a privatized faith. Dear God, where is the rain this year? Will you please make it rain so we'll have crops? Right? Dear God, my wife is not having a baby. Will you please help us conceive a child? Dear God, okay? But then what they were doing is when things were going well, life was smooth, right? They tended to kind of fall away from temple worship and they quit tithing their mint and their dill and their all the things that they tithe in that day and age that they were required by law to do. And they quit doing that. But then whenever something would happen and they needed someone, they found out their world was bigger than the one that's surrounding them in their mind, they went back to the temple and they would pray to God and worship with all wholeheartedness, mind you. We don't do that today, do we? We've overcome those types of... Okay. But they were using God for their own purposes rather than offering their lives for God's purpose. Do you hear the difference there? So whenever they have a need, they come to God, right? When they don't have a need, they don't come to God. All right, so there, God says, you are perverting my mission because they're making a mission about God's mission, a gospel about me, a privatized faith. Well, when we look at our faith and the way we pull together Scripture, once you read Scripture in that light, you realize that it is throughout Scripture. But specifically in Isaiah 58 and Matthew 25, we find that we cannot, hit the right button, we cannot separate our relationship with God and our relationship and our responsibilities with people. Let's read that together, okay? We can't separate our relationship with God and our relationship and our responsibilities with people. Then we moved on and we looked at our purpose statement as First United Methodist Church here in Warsaw. Let's read this together. You all have it memorized, I know, but let's read it together. Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. And we discovered last week, really, that's a pretty cool mission statement because that's exactly what Isaiah 58, that's exactly what Matthew 25 is all about, right? Being the hands and the feet of Jesus, right? Serving in the world, right? Remember that? Anybody? Okay. So we learn that we can't separate our relationship with God and our relationship and responsibilities with people. And then we learn that our mission statement here at this church is that. Now, if you are a member of this church, you should buy into this mission statement because you shouldn't be a member of this church and not buy into this mission statement, right? Reason why people join organisms is what I like to call the church, is that you wholeheartedly want that purpose to be fulfilled, that mission to be fulfilled in the church. So as a people of God here in Warsaw, as First United Methodist Church, this is what we're about. And if you're a part of this church, that means also that you should be about this as well, right? Because if David is about this, I'm not trying to embarrass you, son. If David is going this direction, right? Right? Sharon is going this direction. And Larry back there, he's going this direction. And the church is going this direction. Do you think we're going to accomplish much? Sorry about that. Think we're going to accomplish much? No, all of us who are members of this church need to buy into this mission and believe it wholeheartedly and live our lives this way because we identify with this. Our mission, let's read it together again, is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. And you know what? Today, being a father is really amazing as we celebrate Father's Day today. And I don't know why it was this way. All I can say is God just created it to be this way, I guess. You know, if you look in the book of Ephesians, where it talks about a relationship between husband and wife, right? It always irritated me because the wives get like three sentences. And the husbands get a whole paragraph. And I'm like, right, you expect me to do all those things, right? You know, in statistics, it's really amazing. I studied this a lot whenever I was in the new Church Start plant. When a child brings a family, well, when a child becomes active in the ministries of a church, there is a low percentage that the rest of the family will follow. Okay? When the mom or the wife gets involved in a church, there's a higher percentage that the rest of the family will follow. But for some reason, when the man, the husband, the father gets involved in a church, it's like 97% of the time the wife and the family will follow him and become active in that church. Why is that? Maybe it's the way God created it to be, right? We have a very important role, fathers, in our lives with regards to our family and our children, and quite honestly, with other people's children as well. So our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. Well, you see, you have power with God by your actions toward people. That's what that's saying. You have power with God by your actions toward people, especially the poor and the marginalized. And I guess we've got to figure out how to get us, the church, into the world. Individually, I'm talking about each one of us. How do we get past ourselves? Have you thought about that really? How do we get past us? When we look in the mirror, I've been thinking about this a lot the last several weeks. When I look in the mirror, how do I get outside of myself? How do I quit worrying about my things in my life and realize that in the grand scheme of things, I should really be outside of my world looking at what's going on out there? So how do we get ourselves? How do you get yourself? How do we as a church help you get outside your little world? And I don't mean that it's small. I'm just saying size-wise, your world is a lot smaller than what is going on around you. How do we open our eyes to what is going on around you? How do we have urgency once we see what is going on in this world? How do we have urgency to move into the world with the gift that God has given you? Well, as last week, Isaiah 61 is a part of the messianic text of Isaiah. And when Jesus announced his ministry and mission, he was interpreting and reading from this text. He was not reading from Luke 4. Okay? I just want everybody to understand that. Boy, that must be not very good. That's how the first worship service connected with that joke. But anyway, why would it be funny that I think Jesus might read from Luke 4? It wasn't written yet, all right? Yeah, there was no such thing as Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Romans, and 1 Corinthians and everything. Why? Because their Bible and the Bible of the first church, quite honestly, was what we call the Old Testament. Right, so Jesus, he walked in the temple, right? He walked up to whatever, the podium, whatever they had, and I have never done this, so I don't know how long it took him to find Isaiah 61. But he had to unroll the scrolls, right? And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. You know, as we read Isaiah 61, we find out something, especially when we consider that Jesus' ministry began by reading this scripture. We realize that if it's not good news to the poor, it's not the gospel. If it's not good news to the poor, it's not the gospel. Now, wait a minute, Eric, you're confusing me. Let me see. The gospel, no, that's wrong. The gospel is like John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that what? He gave His only Son. So that what? Shall not perish, but what? That's the gospel, Eric. That's what we've been preached to for all my life. That is the gospel. Well, yeah, but guess what the next word is? And? And? Yes, and? You see, if we as a church are not directly involved with the poor, then we are not a church, and what we proclaim is not the gospel. Have you thought about those words before? If it's not good news to the poor, it is not the gospel. And if we as a church are not directly involved with the poor, then we are not a church, and what we proclaim is not the gospel. Because the church is the body of Christ. Now stick with me here, all right? The church is the body of Christ acting the mission of Christ to the world. The church is the body of Christ acting the mission of Christ to the world. Tell me, do we have poor in Benton County? Do we have poor in Warsaw? Do we have poor in this church? We have a lot of work to do, don't we? Do we bring good news to the poor here in this church? Every single one of us? Do we bring good news to the poor in Warsaw? Do we bring good news to the poor in Benton County? Then can we bring them the gospel if we're not bringing good news to the poor? I guess my question today is in this regard is, as a member of this church, what are you personally doing to help out? I know many of us are getting uncomfortable right now, and I understand that. I am too. I've been uncomfortable for quite a while now. As a member of this church, what are you personally doing to help out? Because remember, you are a part of this church, right? So when we talk about this church, you are innately a part of that, right? So if you personally are not reaching out to the poor, what does that say about the church? Now I have a question for you. Do you come to worship simply, I say simply, okay? Do you come simply to be motivated to live your best life? Or do you come to hear the gospel? I'll take that. You see, I hope that at some points you understand that we have got to hear the gospel. And I hope that sometimes when God reaches down into our heart, have anybody ever tried to pet a cat backwards? Sometimes we have the same effect when God reaches down in our hearts, don't we? Right? Meow! Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe we should pray that God troubles us. You ever thought about that? Many times we pray that, oh God, take away the pain, or God, do this, or God, do that. Maybe we should pray, dear God, trouble me. Make me uncomfortable when I am not sharing the gospel to those that are around me. Well, you see, if we keep the gospel central in our life, then this church will keep the gospel central in its life, won't it? We can't do otherwise. And God will hear us. And God will bless us. Now listen to verse 6 of Isaiah. So, hear my sentence. Because if you keep the gospel central in your life, and this church then will keep the gospel central in its life, and God will hear us and bless us. And this is how God will bless us. You shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Because their shame was double and dishonor was proclaimed their lot. Therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Who is that? Who's them? Us. Us. I have just a short little clip that I want to show you in regards to Michael Slaughter. And their big ministry is Darfur, I believe is how you pronounce it, Darfur. And they've done a lot of great work there. But this is, I guess, I just want you to think about, as you're watching this, how can you personally be involved with the poor in this community, in this county?
Well, if you don't, Darfur has been named the first genocide of the 21st century. In 2004, I saw that that year the farmers got no seed in Darfur. Darfur is the size of Texas, 6.5 million people. 2.5 million of those folks are living in displaced camps. John Jaweed had burned all of the land. Not one seed was in the ground. If they didn't get seed in the ground in 2005, there could have been up to 1 million deaths, starvation. So I went to Gainesburg Church, right? We know the mission. We can't choose it, right? It's the Father has sent me, so I send you. We have the resources. Don't tell me we're in the middle of, the worst economy since the Depression. You know, we've got, whoever believes in me, from their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So where are the resources of heaven going to come through? Let's test God and see what God can do. We used to argue in seminary, did the resurrection literally happen or not? I said, well, let's test him and see. What's the worst that can happen? Your church could go bankrupt. It's not my problem. It's God's problem. Jesus didn't tell me to go build the church. He said, I'll build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He told me to go and build disciples. See, we forget. Some of us think we're in the church building business. I'll leave that to God. If it goes bankrupt, God's problem. Let's go build disciples. So I came up with this thing. I said to our people, hey, it's Christmas time. How do we raise? And we've now invested in the last 4 years, we've invested $4.4 million. Now, I come from mostly blue-collar church. Many of my people are unemployed. We've invested, they've brought $4.4 million for our project in Darfur. We have built 173 schools. UMCOR is our partner, United Methodist Committee on Relief. We have today, this morning, 23,000 students in our schools. Now we've completed 15 water yards. Now these are the blue collar people, 16 miles north of Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, we've completed 15 water yards, and each water yard serves 22,000 people approximately and their livestock. I'm terrible at math, so you do the math. 15 times 22,000 plus livestock. And we've created a sustainable agricultural program right now that's feeding about 83,000 people. Now, all out of some little out-of-the-way church in some place called Gainesburg, Ohio, where my DS in 1979, when they sent me there, told me if I behaved myself and did a good job, then I could move to a town church like 3 miles away, Tip City, you know, and they had like 203 people that I could move to. Like, that was the goal. I don't need more people who just want to come and live little better soft secular lives. Right? Just give me a place that's broken, Bishop, and let me build disciples, not churches. You know what I mean? So I said to our people, Christmas is not your birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. Quit acting like it's your birthday. Come, you know, we in the church have made Christmas one of the biggest hedonistic, gluttonous kind of feast I have ever seen in my life. So, you know, what I said to our people, whatever you do, whatever you spend on yourself at Christmas, bring an equal amount for this. What we started the first year was an agricultural program in Darfur. Not make a donation. Come on, church. Jesus gave his life. He told us to take up the cross, and we come up with mitten trees. Don't bring some used toys from home that your kids no longer play with. Yeah, we call that Christian love. I call that cleaning out the garage. So, you know, whatever you spend, you know, if you spend $500 on your family, you bring $500. You know, if you spend, you know, some people can go nuts. They spend $2,500 at Christmas. Then you bring $2,500. And, you know, what we need to do is transform people. This is how you make disciples. Help them move from a place where they're bringing Jesus into their worldview so that they can be transformed into the worldview of Jesus. So, folks, it is incredible what this has done at Ginghamsburg Church. Is at first, you know, that first year, they brought an equal amount. And what's happened now is we see that people are spending, now they're doing things like baking each other cookies or giving someone a book, you know, and really sacrificing for this project in Sudan. I challenge you to try it. But what I want to show you right now is this video we did.
If you're wondering and maybe don't remember those numbers there, he'd been speaking for about 35 minutes, and around 500 children have died in that amount of time due to hunger-related issues. That's what that screen is. Every 4 seconds, a child around the world dies because of hunger-related issues. One thing that he mentioned that I would like to share. We can get it up there on the screen. Make disciples by helping people move to a place. Now listen to this. Help people move to a place so that they're bringing Jesus into their world view, so that they can be transformed into the world view of Jesus. Make disciples by helping people move to a place so that they're bringing Jesus into their worldview, so that they can be transformed into the worldview of Jesus. Oh, Eric, how in the world do I do that? Well, just to give it a little scripture background, you can write it down and we'll look it up later. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says this. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you have received. That's how you do this. What is your gift? And that's the next step. What is your gift? See, the whole point of today's message is we are to be a part of God's source of life. That's what we are to be. Not only are we created for that, but once we give life, our life, to Christ, we are called to be a part of God's source of life. Let's pray. Dear God, you are an amazing God, and we thank you so very much for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us today, and we ask, God, that you reach down and you bother us, that you trouble us, that you stir the waters of our heart, God, so that we can reach out and get beyond our world, so that we can bring your worldview into other people's lives, God. We love you and we thank you. And as we leave this place, may your word remain with us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You know, I think because of the time, Deanna is going to not appreciate me because she got words for me up on the screen. But I want to go ahead and invite the folks up that are joining our church this morning and let us continue the service. I apologize about cutting that hymn of invitation, but I'm going to invite you right now. Come on down, everybody, all right? We have a great celebration today. We have folks that are joining our church, and you know, they have stepped up to the plate in regards to the purpose and mission of this church. And come right on up. Matter of fact, Mom and Dad, you can come on up too. Anybody who is a family member and supporter can come on up and be with us. Now, here's what's going to happen today. I'm going to go through some things, especially with JD, and he's going to be with everyone else here. And he will answer that, all right? But then we're going to go and he will be baptized. And so it's important that you go to that as well. Some of you may think, wait, this is backwards. He should be baptized first. And you would be right. But we're going to do it this way because we're in our worship service with all of you being present. Does that make sense? All right. And then we'll move to Shawnee Bend and I can get you wet there. If you don't dunk me first. Hey, that would be kind of fun. All right. So let's begin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. This is a moment in the Christian community when we recognize and celebrate the grace of God living in each of us. All of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. You see, baptism is a belonging of God claiming us as His own. It's a beginning of a lifelong journey. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. So I ask all of you now, JD and Evelyn and Matt and Tammy, on behalf of the whole church, do you understand that there are evil powers in this world creating brokenness and suffering, working against God's plan of healing and wholeness? And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates brokenness rather than wholeness? Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with the church, which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I will.
As a member of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? The membership covenant that you sign states, I will grow spiritually and support the spiritual growth of our church community. I will share in the purpose of our church community. I will find some way to grow in faith apart from Sunday morning worship. And I will protect the unity of our church community. Do you fully understand this covenant and promise to uphold it?
Hey, buddy.
I will. Sorry, I got distracted there. All right. Would you turn to the congregation and have... There we go. Members of the household of God, I also entrust these individuals to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, perfect them in love, and show them how a true community of faith stands with them in the crossroads of life. Please respond with me. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust in God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And as you can see, you may be seated. Please turn back with me. Come on in here, everybody. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Jesus Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that with God's power and freedom you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Would you greet your new members? Yes. Now, got a question for you two before we close today, okay? So if you would go ahead and remain up here. Will you nurture your children in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Do you desire to have your children baptized into this particular church community as well as the faith and family of the entire body of Christ? Acknowledging their need for nurture in a Christian community of caring and concerned people, do you promise to allow this church community to love and care for them by bringing them into the life of the Christian community, to worship, to teach them the story of our faith, to guide them as they are called in response to the gospel, and to encourage them to be in relationship with other believers as they grow in their faith in God? Please stand. You will respond, "We do," if you noticed I put that slide too early there, and I apologize. Those who have a spiritual heritage with these kids, this local church community, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? We do. Also, recognizing that there are many persons to touch the lives of children beyond their parents, and recognizing that in many ways the church community has as much influence as parents and immediate family do, do you, First Church Community, promise to help and support J.D. and Kinsey in their parenting and give your time, your protection, your guidance, and your love, providing them with continuing opportunities to explore their growing relationship with God? We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as worshipers together with you in the body of Christ and in this community of the First United Methodist Church of Warsaw. We celebrate your decision to become a member of this church community. We prayerfully support you and your children and look forward to our journey together. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you all so much for having your children baptized. And JD, you too, we'll dunk each other, I guess. Shawnee, Ben, make sure you come out there and support this family as they do this. And as we leave today, I would sure love it if you all would stand with me so that this congregation can welcome you. One more time, can you just give them a hand for joining us as a community of faith? Blessings, sir. Welcome. Please be seated. Thank you guys so much. And you can participate anytime you want, buddy.
Let us continue to celebrate the many gifts that God has given each and every one of us by presenting our tithes and offerings. Thank you.
sing the closing chorus of Ascend. It's on the screen.
Before we leave tonight, get those hands going.
We'll ascend to the mountain of the Lord. We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation pure and holy.
One more time, we will ascend.
We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation pure and holy.
Go from this place knowing that you are a child of God. Know that you are here on this earth. Didn't she do awesome, everybody? Yeah. You are here on this earth to go out and share the love of Jesus Christ by being His hands and His feet in your world, in this community, and in the world. You are called for a special purpose. And you may be that one person in someone else's life that will help them continue living because of the way you treated them. The smile that you gave them. The pat on the back that they experienced. You are called and given many gifts. Be Jesus in your world. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, may you experience God's shalom this week. And happy Father's Day. Amen.